Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi again and welcome everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it is an absolute honor to have you here with us again. It really is. Now, what's going to be in our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, during our radio seminar segment, you are going to continue to focus on how to effectively teach and train the children in your life Bible-based financial principles and applications. And then right after the radio seminar, we're going to move into some great questions that parents have about helping their children learn and apply what the Bible has to say about finances. Now, why this emphasis on teaching and training our children? Well, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to use our radio time together to move you, to encourage you to join us next Friday evening and this next Saturday morning for our live How to Raise Money Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop at our training center in Hiawassee. Now, I'll share more about this seminar and workshop just a bit later, but that's the reason for the emphasis. Now, next, our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard is going to share with us some great buys that are still available generally through the end of January. And then finally, we are going to spend a great minute with Maxwell. As the New York Times best-selling Christian author and speaker and leadership coach John Maxwell focuses on change. And I am not talking about all of those loose coins in your pocket or your purse, okay? Change from John Maxwell. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. As we always start, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us here again today. Please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us. To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. My friend, it seems to me that nothing reflects the failure to teach family finances in our society today more than the national divorce rate. I mean, the data shows that about half of all of the marriages are going to fail within the first 6 years. And by the way, all marriages, to include Christian marriages, half of them are going to go down within the first 6 years. And what we find is that the average income of these divorcing couples nowadays is between $30,000 and $50,000 a year. So income generally is not the problem. What is the problem? Ignorance, simply not knowing how to handle the material areas of their lives, leads to debt, and then the data shows that debt leads to divorce. Do you realize that the average 28-year-old couple owes about $90,460 to include student loan debt and maybe even part of a home loan? I mean, and that's just the average. See, what we find is that young couples simply do not know how to make the right financial decisions regarding their income. And what we do know is that, according to the Bible, it is the responsibility of parents to teach their children God's principles, and that includes to teach the children His principles of managing money. Okay? You see, when armed with God's truth, our children are going to be able to detect the lies that our society throws at them about money. So lies such as, things like, go ahead and do it. You owe it to yourself. Or maybe, hey, and I hear this one a lot, hey, you need to stretch yourself financially if you're ever going to be a success. And finally, boy, this is a good one. Maybe some of these are hitting home. I don't know. But interest, man, that's a good thing because it's a good tax shelter. Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, my friend, the bottom line is that we as parents, we are charged by God to teach our children how to handle the material, the financial part of their lives. And in order to do that, we as parents, as parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, hey, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, what we need to do is to prayerfully start by understanding all of the negative influences and conditions that bombard our children's lives today. And then secondly, we need to prayerfully set some goals for our children, spiritual and financial goals. And third, and it wraps up the first two and all of the other ones, is that we need to bury our pride a little bit and learn what it's like to ask for some help. Ask for some help. Now, the good news is that there are a lot of organizations out there that can give you help. Let me say from personal experience, organizations like Crown Financial Ministries and the Dave Ramsey Organization, man, they have some outstanding materials to help teach and train your children Bible-based financial principles and applications. But then also, next weekend, you can receive some of the best from both Crown and from Dave in our How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop. Now, again, that's going to be more information to come as we wrap up our time together. But the idea is you need to bury your pride. You need to ask for help because you need to do what needs to be done according to God, that is to help teach your children how to manage the money in their lives. And by the way, that is exactly what all of our Q&A times are all about. Real world people asking real world questions. And what we do, my friend, what we do is that we share those questions and our responses with you, our radio audience, to help you discover or rediscover that there are always spiritual and financial answers to your spiritual and financial questions. You see, there is always hope because there's always God. You know, Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, all of the others, you know what? We do not have the answer, but God's Word does. God does. You see, our job is to help you discover Bible-based financial principles and applications, well, so you can get them up and operating in your life and up and operating in the lives of your children. So let's do just that, okay? Today I have several great real-world questions for you to consider, all right? Good questions. Here we go. Here's the first one. Bob, how old should my child be before I begin training him to handle money? Oh, my goodness. My friend, from my personal experience, I got to tell you, for my wife and I, I can suggest that the answer is the younger, the better. I will tell you, in the very, very early ages, say, I don't know, even from 1 to 6, you can teach your children by setting some fair, age-appropriate financial disciplines around your home. I mean, have them do some jobs, okay, age-appropriate jobs, and have them do them without pay. What kind of jobs? Well, jobs like cleaning their rooms and picking up their toys. And then as they grow, well, what you can do is you can set up some elective jobs that they can do for pay. Now, this might include things, I mean, with our family, it included things like cleaning the garage and washing the car, mowing the yard, you know, helping clean the bathrooms, vacuuming. See, what this does is to help teach both the value of money and the ethics of doing a job well. And I got to tell you, the earlier you begin to do this, the better off your children are going to be. Now, as you do, there are a couple of principles that I learned from Larry Burkett years and years ago that should guide you as you begin to teach your children about your finances. Okay, you ready? Got your listening ears on? First of all, whatever you do, you need to be fair. For example, do not overpay and do not underpay, all right? Second, be consistent. I mean, if you have announced that you're not going to pay until a job is done to your liking, well, then stick to it. And if you promise to pay when the job is done, then promptly pay when the job is done. Simply do not promise what you cannot or will not do. Be consistent. Plus, let me share something else with you. Another way to help teach young children the value of money is to help them set some financial goals And I got to tell you, this can be as simple as earning 50 cents to go buy some ice cream, okay? Or it can be to save enough to buy a coloring book or some piece of technology that they want. You see, associating work with reward, that is an important biblical concept, okay? As Proverbs 16:22 says, a worker's appetite works for him, okay? Great question, Carol. Thanks so much. Now, what about the rest of us? Does this question kind of hit home to you? Are you wondering when you should start or when you should have started teaching your children? Okay, here's another great question. How soon should my children begin to tithe? Oh, my goodness. Now, I got to tell you that I love this question. I really do. This is a great question from someone who is definitely headed in the right direction. Now, how so? Well, because this person already seems to know what the tithe is all about. Now, remember, you can't effectively teach and lead your children someplace that you've never been, right? Okay, right. Now, all right, back to the question. How soon should my children begin to tithe? Well, again, first of all, and from personal experience, I got to suggest that you avoid the nickel and the plate syndrome. You know, when the collection plate comes around, don't scramble to find your child some change or a couple of dollars to drop in. You know, this teaches nothing about living and giving. Children will best learn about tithing by giving from their own resources. You know, basically, I would suggest that your child begin to tithe as soon as he or she has the resources to begin to do so. Now, having said that, I got to suggest to you that at the earlier ages, you're probably going to have to encourage, even insist, that your child gives a portion of what they have to the Lord's work. But then at older ages, say, oh, I don't know, starting maybe as early as the early teens, depending upon the nature and personality of your child, you can begin to allow him or her to make their own giving decisions. Now remember that giving is nothing more. Listen to this. This is so good. Giving is nothing more than an outside visible indicator to us as to what is going on inside spiritually. You see, it's an indicator to us. It's an indicator to us as to where we stand. It's an indicator to us where our children stand. God already knows. It's an indicator to us as to what's going on inside spiritually. Now, if you're a teenager, if that person doesn't want to give, I would suggest don't force it. What you need to do is to prayerfully work to identify and then work on the inside spiritual problem, okay? Now to help make giving real to your children, one thing my wife and I did was to get our children involved in the lives of other people. For example, you can direct their tithe or a portion of their tithe to go directly support a family in need. And if you do, then your children are going to begin to see the direct effect that their giving has on the lives of other people. So basically, Philip, I got to tell you, make sure that you understand and are applying what the Bible has to say about giving, and then seek some help to pass along what the Lord has shown you and why, to pass that along to your children. Thanks. Thank you for your question. Let's see, how are we doing we're doing all right on time. I think we have time for one more quick question, and it's a good one, and it's along the same line as the one we just saw, right? The last one was, how soon should my children begin to tithe? This question is, at what age should my children open a savings account? And here again, I would suggest that you start this practice early on, but then they need to be old enough to understand that a bank. And this is a tough lesson to learn because they've been taught so well the other direction. But the age to start would be at the age that they begin to understand that the bank is not a place where they put their money and they never see it again. What they need to understand is that it is a place where their money is saved for future use. Your children especially should be encouraged to save for short-term projects. For example, I don't know, saving for a trip, maybe a toy, maybe a tricycle, you know, a bike, something like that. You know, this is going to let them associate saving with a reward. They associated work with a reward. They need to understand the relationship between saving and a reward. Plus, you might want to add or match money that they save. I got to tell you from experience, this bonus may be the key to help them start saving regularly if mom and dad matches what they put aside. Now you and I know that saving money, is a short-term sacrifice to achieve a long-term goal, right? Right. All right. So as your children get older, help them to begin saving for longer-term goals. Now, what kind of goals? Maybe a new wardrobe, maybe a car, maybe even eventually college. You see, saving money, it is a great discipline to have and a great discipline to start sharing with your children. As Proverbs 21:20 says, a wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Boy, these are some great, great questions about working with your children. I hope they've been a help to you. According to our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, even though January is just about halfway over, there is still plenty of time to pick up some great January deals, okay? Now, my wife could be the first to tell you that, you know, that post-holiday month on January, well, it has long been known for the white sales, right? When retailers drastically lower the price on things like bedding and towels and anything that is generally cottony or fluffy. But according to Clark, the savings in January go so much further than just that. For example, let me share with you some of the things that Clark says are the best buys, traditionally, are the best buys in January. And number one, the first one, well, you know, we've made it through the Christmas holidays, right? Well, this means that it's time for deep discounts on all of the Christmas supplies. You know, all of the time for the ribbons and the bows and the wrapping paper and all the rest. Now's the time to stock up for next year. It's not uncommon. I got to tell you, it's not uncommon. We find markdowns up to 70% or more. It's a good time to shop if you have the money and if it's in your budget. So number one, shop Christmas stuff for next year. Number two, January is a big month for semi-annual sales. Semi-annual sales on things like clothing and shoe categories, okay? Number three, Clark is a big fan of warehouse clubs. If you listen to this program, you're aware of that. If you listen to his radio program, you're aware of that. He likes the clubs such as Costco Wholesale and Sam's Club and BJ's Wholesale Club. Now, if you are not a warehouse club member, January, according to Clark, January is a good month to join, well, for a couple of good reasons, because you'll be able to easily track your savings all year long. But also, right now, you can get some great membership deals on Sam's Club, BJ's, and Costco. All right? Okay, number three, as a general rule, January and the first couple of months of every year, well, they're a good time to get some good deal on technology, particularly television sets. And number four, well, the start of the year, according to Clark, is always a good time for fitness resolutions. We're making the New Year's resolutions, right? So consequently, it's no wonder that you're going to be able to find good deals on exercise equipment. Now, there you have it. If you have the cash, if you have the room in your January budget, Clark tells you that now is a great time to get some great deals on Christmas decor and wrapping paper and supplies, and along with clothing and shoes and warehouse club memberships, TVs, and exercise equipment. It's a good month to shop if you've got the money to shop. Thanks, Clark. Good thoughts. Now it is time again for one of my favorite times together with the Lord and you. It is time for another minute with Maxwell. Now recall that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times best-selling Christian author and coach and speaker, and he is considered the world's most influential leadership expert. And today, John's Minute with Maxwell is all about change. Let's take a listen.
Hi, John Maxwell here. I'm so glad you're with me on Minute with Maxwell as we continue our series on statements of strength during a crisis that we're in. I would encourage you again to let your friends know about Minute with Maxwell and help them to kind of maybe come alongside of us and just hear and receive a statement of strength that might help them and you to just be a little stronger in this adverse wind that we have. So I'm going to give you a quote of one of my favorite people, Jim Rohn. Jim said, "The difficulties you meet will resolve themselves as you advance." Those are the three key words. I'll say it again. The difficulties that you meet will resolve themselves as you advance. Proceed, and light will dawn and shine with increasing clearness on your path. You see, the problem is that most of us, during adversity, instead of proceeding and going forward, we stop, we freeze. That's just kind of a natural human tendency to say, "Oh my, what's happening?" And instead of moving forward as we should, or advancing and learning and growing and developing, we have a tendency just to put everything on a hold and kind of cross our fingers and close our eyes and just kind of hope it all goes away, which it doesn't. One of my favorite teachings is what I call advanced attraction. Advanced attraction basically just simply says this. When you really know who you are and you know what you want, if you proceed, if you advance, if you move, then people, resources, opportunities will begin to flow to you. But they only flow to the person who moves. They don't flow to the person who waits, stops, holds on. You have to advance. I know that. Jim Rohn knows that. So let's do it. What do you say? Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what another great teaching. Today's statement of strength, what I hear is John saying that the difficulties that we meet are going to resolve themselves as we advance, as we proceed. As we proceed, the light is going to dawn and it's going to shine with increasing clearness on our path. John says that persistence and resilience only come from having been given the chance to work through difficult problems. Boy, I got to tell you, this includes difficult financial problems in our lives and in the lives of our children and our families, right? Oh my, what a good, appropriate, current word from Maxwell. Thank you, John. Okay, that just about wraps up our time together again for today. Now recall that during our radio seminar time, you focused on how to start to effectively teach and train the children in your life Bible-based financial principles and applications. And then you heard some great questions parents, real-world parents, have about helping their children learn and apply what the Bible has to say about finances. Then, of course, our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard showed us some great January buys that we can make, followed by yet another great Minute with Maxwell from John Maxwell, Christian author and speaker. What a great thought he had to share with us. Now finally, as promised, what I want to do is to share with you a little bit about our upcoming How to Raise Money Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop. Now, my friend, it is an absolute fact. What our children learn about handling money today is going to have a deep and lasting effect on their families and ultimately on their service to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel somewhat intimidated or unsure about how to teach the children in your life about Bible-based financial matters? Well, if you could use some help in this area, then what I invite you to do is to come and be part of our brand new How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way live seminar and workshop. The Lord led me to put this teaching together, built on the foundation of my long-standing relationship with Dave Ramsey and John Maxwell and Larry Burkett, Crown Financial Concepts and Crown Financial Ministries. During our six sessions together, okay, you are going to discover the two ways that the world influences your children's financial attitudes and the actions and what you can do to clarify and challenge these attitudes and actions. You're going to discover the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word. You're going to see five critical lessons that, according to the Bible, the Lord would have you understand, apply, and pass along to your children. And you're going to get a whole host, and I mean a whole bunch, of practical tips and suggestions and tools and activities to help teach and train your children. And you are also going to learn how to identify and adapt your personality style to best teach and train the children in your life. You're going to get all of this and a whole lot more. Now, you will find this seminar and workshop is going to be at our Hiawassee Ministry Training Center, and here's the address, 2532 Highway 76 West in Hiawassee, which is the little red building formerly known as Stella Barong's Mountain Home Music Theater. Okay? Now, when is this seminar and workshop? Well, sessions 1, 2, and 3 are going to be on Friday evening, this coming Friday evening, January 21st, starting right at 6:30 and ending right at 9:30. And then sessions 4, 5, and 6 are going to be the next morning, January 22nd, Saturday, starting right at 8:30 and closing out right at noon. Now, I do need to tell you that seating is going to be limited and registrations are, well, they're not required, but they're recommended, and you can register by giving me a call at 828-835-0888. That number again is 828-835-0888. Or you can take a look at our website, check out the information, the details, and register via the web. Our website, www.christianfinancialministries.org. And by the way, here's a good part. You are going to receive the seminar and the workshop and all the handouts and materials and even refreshments at no charge. Yep, no charge. If after our time together you believe the Lord has blessed you, then we invite you to offer a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, but it's not required. My friend, you are going to discover Bible-based teachings that you can trust. You will receive a message that I believe that it's going to inspire and strengthen and equip you with a mix of Bible-based financial principles and detailed practices designed to help you teach and train your children from ages 4 to 20. Okay? Now, again, registration is not required. You can just show up. But if you want to register to ensure you get a seat, please give me a call at 828-835-0888 or visit our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Well, there you have it. Another 30 minutes of Financial Freedom God's Way Radio is now in the books. And what a great 30 minutes it's been. Thank you so much for being with us today. And by the way, I want to mention, just in case you want to listen again to this or any of our past radio programs, you can now go to our website and click on the radio podcasts and blogs box on the front page. Then select podcasts, and you're going to be able to listen to any of our past Financial Freedom God's Way radio programs. Now, I sure hope to see you with us this Friday evening from 6:30 to 9:30 and Saturday morning from 8:30 to noon at our training center in Hiawassee for our How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way live seminar and workshop. It's going to be great. Don't miss it. Remember to check our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. And now it is time to close in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.